No one can tell your story like you can. Welcome to the Testament Podcast, a ministry of Canyon Creek Presbyterian Church. We are glad that you have decided to join us today. I am your host, the Bearded One, aka Pastor Chris. And again, I just wanted to say that I'm so thankful that you have taken the time to spend some time with us here on the pod. As you know, as I've said on a previous edition of the pod, the vision of this podcast is quite simple: to hear stories, to share conversation, and to hear from actual people. One of the things that we are doing over the next few weeks is we're doing a special series on our alternative worship service called Stir. Many of you have heard of it. Many of you may be quite not sure what to do about it or what to think about the actual service. So the focus today is just to sort of share a little bit about what Stir is and hear from folks who have attended Stir. So today, we have a special guest, Cindy McIntyre. Cindy, how are you doing?
I'm great.
Thank you for joining with us today. One of the things we thought we would do is we're doing this series just to kind of raise awareness within the congregation about Stir. I know a lot of people have heard of Stir or wondering what it's all about, and so we thought that it's best just not in a picture or a paragraph, but to hear from actual people who have attended, and Cindy's one of those. So Cindy, before we begin, just share with our listeners kind of a little bit about who you are, what's your background, and maybe what's your background both professionally and spiritually.
Okay, I grew up in Cincinnati, upper middle class home. My dad had his own business helping folks handle their creditors for a small fee. My mom was always worried about what other people thought, and I guess I ended up somewhere in between those two. I stayed home when my kids were small and ultimately ended up as an administrator at the newly formed Master's in Counseling program at Southern Methodist University. It felt like an impactful calling.
Sure, sure.
But since retiring, I love my two women's clubs, Altruza International and Richardson Women's Club. Both those groups pour money and time into service for the community. I'm recently widowed, have two grown children and three grandchildren whom I adore.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritually, I guess I was confirmed in the Episcopal Church.
Okay.
Heavily involved in our youth group. I love the structure of the Episcopal service.
Oh, yeah.
As a teenager, I thought that, I didn't realize it. Looking back, I know that was crucial.
Sure.
To a teen. The youth pastor came back years later to perform my marriage. So it was a special time. I think that answers what you were asking.
So it's interesting. So the Presbyterian Church is a good fit for you then?
Yes.
Liking to know when things are happening and things to have, yes, a nice logical flow.
Yes, and it was also a way to get my husband involved because he was an academician, a professor at Southern Methodist.
There you go.
And religion was not always his thing. But when I convinced him and he observed the academic nature of this church,
yes,
he was all in and
absolutely
became an adult baptism, which there was a beautiful moment.
How powerful. So pushing that conversation a little further, what comes to mind when you think of the word worship?
I think it's sort of a act of homage or reverence to God.
Sure.
I don't think it has to be communal. I think it can be solitary, mm-hmm, personal, out in the woods, in the middle of a busy kitchen.
Sure. I like it. Kitchen worship sounds good to me. I'm always hungry. Not just hungry for God's word, but for actual food. Carbs, protein, fats, the whole thing. So why did you decide to visit Stir?
Well, I came because I wanted to see what it was all about. I wanted to support you and your place here at Canyon Creek and your vision for Canyon Creek. I wanted to see how it might help utilize our space, maybe grow our congregation,
mm-hmm,
and offer something a little bit different from the traditional service.
Sure. So when you think about, and you've obviously been to a few services, when you heard that the church was considering doing launching something like this, and for our listeners, if you remember that this is a grant-funded venture through Grace Presbytery's Mission Initiative Grant, when you were made aware of this as like kind of like a church leader, when you first heard about STIR in its presentation, what were your thoughts?
I was in favor of it. Churches in general are losing members, and I think any way that you can lure them in with something different, all the better.
Right. So how has, you've been to a few, how has STIR been, how have you found STIR meaningful?
Well, the first time I visited, we saw a video about a mountain climber, a guy that climbed up with his fingers and no net, and it was terrifying to watch.
Yes.
Even though I knew you wouldn't put something on there that had a bad ending, but it was still terrifying. And the way that you integrated that with your message, your word, your homily, I don't know what you call your words there, it was awesome. Diane that night also had us write our fears and concerns on river rocks, and then we washed them away in the water. I was blown away by it. I was totally impressed.
Yeah. That speaks to kind of what we do, right? We have we're pretty intentional about leveraging everything. Kind of going back to even your thought about worship, how big worship is, and how many different ways you can experience. And we and that's actually something that's very Presbyterian. We have a line in our directory for worship that God has hallowed all space, time, and matter for use. And sometimes we get, when you get into a place of sameness, right, when you do the same thing over and over again, sometimes it's easy to forget that everything out there can be used, right? Especially when it comes to worship. So we try to live into that. So with that said, what is there anything that you've experienced in STIR that has challenged you?
I think the music was a little challenging for me.
Sure.
I admit it's not what I'm used to hearing.
Sure.
I'm a melody, harmonies singer. I was in choir all through school.
Right.
I was in barbershop, an international award-winning barbershop chorus for 17 years.
Wow.
So it's different for me.
Yeah.
But I'm learning that the trick is to kind of buy into the emotion, the force of the devotion, the power of the words. And in general, I guess I'll just continue to analyze that.
Yeah, and that's kind of why that was one of the biggest things that was even a little weird for me. And this actually came up in another conversation with a gentleman we had on the pod earlier, but that when our music team just said, hey, let's not use lyrics. And I was like, well, how in the world are we going to do it without lyrics? How are people going to sing? But I remembered, and that's the, you know, even though I didn't grow up in church, you know, the church that I did go to and my grandparents made us when we visited them, you were going to church. It wasn't an option.
Right.
We went to United Methodist Church, and you sung out of the hymnal. If not, the words were on screen or they were printed on a piece of paper. And then, you know, obviously going to seminary, to a Presbyterian seminary and working in Presbyterian churches before I got ordained, I got used to, you know, having something in front of me. And I'm so, you know, what you said was really powerful when you said that, you know, that used to the melody and the harmony, but just being, I had a similar experience when, I had a very similar experience when I was, at my mom-in-law's funeral. For those of you, many of you have gotten a chance to hear my late mother-in-law, her voice. She was a powerful singer, and so is Brandy's grandmother, who's been here and has sung a few times. And coming from that gospel music tradition, it dates back so long to when folks weren't allowed to read. So it had to be from emotion, because folks weren't given books to be able to do that. And so coming from that tradition, I was not used to it myself. So I remember her funeral. It was at a church, and there was just a level of volume that I had never experienced. Mm-hmm. But there was something that spoke to my soul, because I was looking around. I remember the first 10 minutes of that service, and I'm obviously very emotional because I gave my mom-in-law's eulogy. Oh. So I had that in my head, and I was trying to get through it, but you had all these hundreds of people who were there, not just because of primarily because of the person she was, but because of how many people she touched with her voice musically. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget the song. There was a moment when one of her friends sang a song, and then right in the middle of that song, immediately just looked to the keyboardist and said, "We're gonna do this song." And then just started singing a whole new song. And I mean, I had no choice but I just lost it at that point. And I stood up, and it's not my usual posture. I'm very comfortable in that posture, but it's not my usual posture as I worship here. I try to fit sort of what's there. But what was interesting was it was so odd because there was no lyrics, but everyone knew the words to the song. Or after she sung it once or twice, everyone, this whole building started singing, and she invited in this organic way. So I can relate to that because I'm not used to that. So when they said, "Hey, we're not gonna use lyrics, you know, we want people to focus on the feel and to be present. I don't want them reading words." I said, "Wow." I said that. So in many ways, I can relate to you on the same side, because when they first said we weren't using lyrics, I was like, "So how in the world are people gonna be able to sing?" And they said, "Just trust us, we got it. They'll sing." So when you, this is a question that I'm gonna be asking a lot of folks who have come to Stir to share with other. So I guess the question would be, why do you think that something like Stir is needed in our church or in our community?
I have a hard time with that one. I didn't really come up with a good answer other than what I said before.
Yeah.
Offering something to people that can't come on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
People that don't like the traditional service. The fact that it's with couches and everything's comfortable, and the lights are dimmed, and the dark night and those big windows.
Yes,
I feel heaven coming in on that service. It's a truly emotional experience, and I don't know if that's what you were going for, but that's certainly what it does for me.
That was part of the why we wanted to do that service in that space. Because I remember when I toured the facility, when I was considering, when the church was considering me and I was considering the church, and we were walking through with Andy. I'll never forget, walking through and seeing all this. I mean, we were just amazed, my wife and I, at just the sheer size of the building. And then we walked through, and the sanctuary is a beautiful sanctuary, and we saw Tenant Hall and just all these wonderful spaces in the columbarium, the chapel. But when I walked through the atrium, I remember stopping. I was like, "Now this is sacred space. Like this is this space is like the most." I said, "This is amazing." I remember Andy looking at me and saying, "I know." I said, "This to me is the most sacred space," and I'm I'm clergy, and for me, I love our sanctuary. But for me, as a person, the atrium is the most sacred space in this building for me.
Oh, the way you've morphed it into your own space has made a huge difference in the way people react to it.
Yeah.
Lynn's Heinzel Nelson, did you hear her?
Yes, I was like, what an awesome plug for Stir.
Yes, I thought so too.
Yeah. The feel of it, right? Even when you walk in, it's in the greeting space, it just feels different.
It does.
It feels more warm.
One thing I wanted to say about Stir you haven't really touched on is that you call it an alternative worship.
Yes.
But to me, it's not an alternative. It's an additional.
That's interesting.
Worship service. The the communal traditional service where everyone recites the creed and sings familiar songs. I mean, it's bonding. It's
sure.
group bonding.
Absolutely.
But this is personal. It's one-on-one connection with God in a quiet, calm setting.
Yes.
So it's not a replacement. It's an addition.
Yeah. And it's funny. We went back and forth about that word and kind of how we're learning to understand it, even as we try to raise awareness of it. It's interesting how to try to get it into the corporate sort of memory of the church, right? Mm-hmm. It's helpful to think about it that way. We even catch ourselves sometime in staff. We say, well, we have one service, you know, our worship service. And then usually, and it's not always me because sometimes I forget. Somebody will always say, we have two.
Yeah.
Or so when someone says, you know, I love to go, I can't wait till we go back to two services. And I remember saying, well, don't we have two services? We do have two services. And so that's, I'm so glad you said that, because that's where I think it's going to be most important for this to really take root, is for our congregation to truly see this as another service. Mm-hmm. It's not some random outlier. We tried to use the word alternative to really, we were trying to stay away from the word contemporary.
I see.
Because when you think of contemporary, right or wrong, you think, you know, I'm sure people thought when they thought we were going to do this, we're going to have all these loud music and this big production and just instrument, bam, bam, just loud in your face, you know, mm-hmm. looking like something that you might see on a YouTube, like, you know, praise and worship video. And it's so not that. And that's one of the things I've heard from people when they come in, they're like, I totally wasn't expecting that when I heard alternative worship. I thought I was just going to get, you know, just this massive sound in my face. And it's like, it was so the opposite. Right. So that's where we were trying to use that word, but that's helpful. And that's what we're trying. That's kind of why we're doing these, mm-hmm. this series, this public, this sort of awareness campaign, is to get folks within the congregation to see that this is an additional service.
Exactly.
Right. We're trying to do that. It's worship just done in a different way.
Once they come, I think they will see that and feel that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But thank you for that. That's not something, it's something we're kind of doing, but you've given it actual definition. That we've struggled to give. So we do, if you were to think of part of this, any one of the services that you've attended, is there a particular part in each service that sort of speaks to you?
Well, I hadn't heard Diane do a guided meditation prior to last week, I think it was. But that was just beautiful.
Yeah.
Her voice was so soothing and accepting. I could get inside my grief over losing my husband.
Mm.
I could touch it. Mm-hmm. And really, for the first time in over a year, I'd been feeling kind of selfish and guilty for grieving him because he was in such anxiety and so much pain.
Mm-hmm.
But this helped me slant it a little differently. It was transformational for me, and I'm most grateful for it. So I love that part. I like all the parts, and there are other ways to participate too. The way that you can light a candle for someone, or mm-hmm. you can have communion by yourself at your pace.
Yeah.
I like all the elements of it.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing your story of grief. I mean, it's something that we, there's a few songs that even, I can relate to that. There's a few songs, that Vanessa has done. There's actually one in particular that I had asked her to sing, and it was Brandy's mom's song. It was a song that she sung at my installation.
Wow.
And I just remember and Brandy just cried and I cried, because you could just, it was almost like we heard Donna. Mm-hmm. It was Brandy's mom, and it's like when she started singing, I was like, oh my gosh. And Brandy understands me, so it just lost. And I did too, because it was her song. So I can relate, because I've had that own moment where it's been touched in that way. What would you say, to kind of wrap up our conversation, what would you say is If there were someone that you knew in a circle group or maybe your women's group or anything, just anyone that you know that said, hey, I got this brochure about STIR. I'm thinking about going to it. What would you say to someone who's considering coming but may be hesitant?
Well, I would say I'll pick you up and bring you because you'll love it. It's like nothing you've ever experienced, and I hope we continue to do it for a long, long time.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Well, Cindy, thank you for your time and your vulnerability and your openness to share a little bit about what this ministry has meant. We are excited about it, and we're always thinking of different things to do, and that's been part of the fun. But it's really, you know, it's all about the people are what make the service, and seeing everyone just sort of in that sort of intimate space has been what's most meaningful to me. But thank you for your time, and thank you for being with us on the pod.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And we always conclude this pod, no matter what the subject is, we always conclude with the statement, we know how divided this world is and how challenging just having simple conversations can be. We debate so much about what's right, what's wrong. But one of the things we always encourage you to do here is when you're ever faced with a situation where you're wondering about what's right or what's wrong, always do what's most loving. And if we do that, you can never really go wrong. Thank you for joining us on the pod. Look forward to more conversations like this in the future. Take care. Have a great day.